Every once in a while, we need to rethink. We need to think and rethink what we are doing as the Church of Jesus. This, the week after Easter, the Sunday where we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus over death, over sin, and the freedom that we have in that victory, is a good time. It is a good time for us to rethink what Jesus calls us to be as His church. God's Word tells us what Jesus Christ's church is supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like. And so today, it's time to rethink. And before we do, and as we think, I ask this question: how do you define the church? What's your definition of the church? Most of the time, people define the church with a phrase like this: a pastor that preaches appealing and practical sermons in three easy points in less than 20 minutes. Okay? Worship that stirs your soul and shakes you to the bottom of your feet. Okay? Presentations that are flawless. Ministries that address every need that I have. A clean and tuned facility. You see, there's lots of many understandings and expectations when it comes to the church. And most of the time, they're focused on what is offered by the church rather than what we, the church, are and how we live. Since many people have made the mistake of defining what the church is, they continue down kind of the wrong definition road by determining the church by a building or a program rather than the faith of the people. And sometimes you get so busy with what's going on. And that's part of the world that we live in. I think that's part of the spiritual battle that the devil has put before us in the world that we have today. Sometimes we get so busy with the details, the programs, the plans, the property, the buildings, the possessions. This is my Bible study. This is my plan. This is our property. This is our building. That we forget the correct definition of the church, and that the church is really about bringing people to Jesus. That's what it's about. There I said it. The bottom line is that this is Jesus' church. Let's pray as we go to the Word today. Lord God, we thank You for this time, and we thank You that this is Your church, Jesus. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that as we approach the truth of Your Word, that You will speak to us today, that You'll bring home a correct understanding and definition of what we are to be as Your church. And I pray it in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Scripture's up here on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 3. We're looking at verses 12 through 14 this morning. Starting verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. The Word of God to us this day. Amen. Paul states that the church is supposed to be in harmony, verse 14. The church is supposed to be a place where all lives, thought, are out of tune, okay, are brought into tune. And then we are to be in harmony with one another. And so, for many years, as I can remember, further back than I can remember, okay, because I've played guitar for a long time. Sometimes the strings on my guitar tune up easily, okay, and they stay in tune. And sometimes I have to stretch them. I have to, in a piano tuning world, they call it hammering the strings into tune. They start low and they hammer it with the key, and the string gets tighter, and they tighten it and they hammer it more so that it stays in tune. And you know what? As the seasons of the year change, so do the strings and the instrument change. I can't tell you the difference from last Sunday to this Sunday on my guitar. Last Sunday, it was dry. I could use a drink of water. And my guitar stayed tight. But then we've had what? Thank you, Lord. Rain. Can anyone feel the humidity today? My guitar can. Because the wood swells. And so I have to adjust the strings to the instrument, to the changes of the weather. Dry season, and the wood dries, okay? And that changes the strings. There's always change. There's always change. And I'm constantly tuning my guitar. And that is true for us, the church, too. There is always change. And there's always the need to be tuned so we can be in perfect harmony, as he describes in verse 14. So consider for a little bit sort of the tuning. It's hard sometimes. It's kind of like hammering. What is supposed to hold the church together in a constantly changing world? For my guitar, remember I was saying the weather changes. For us, for you, for our lives, for the church, things are constantly changing. And what keeps us in harmony in the strain of everyday life? Well, it's keeping focused on Jesus. It's keeping focused on the love of God. That helps us know what the right tuning is in each of our lives so we can be in harmony together. God's love in your heart checks, or should check, the selfish, hard tempers that keep people out of harmony, that keep people apart. And this should bring Christian fellowship to every church. God's love in your heart should check the bitter words, the angry feelings, and the selfishness, because those aren't in tune with God's harmony and plan for your life. Our hearts were made for community together, period. God placed in each and every one of us a hunger for authentic relationships. And this is what Jesus had in mind when he prayed to God the Father for you, the church. Look at John chapter 17, verse 21. This is toward the end of Jesus' ministry, and he is praying for you, the church. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. He's praying for oneness. He's praying for unity for us, the church, in this world. And this is what I think oftentimes I hear the world is disappointed with when they look at the church. How does this church become a place where nobody stands alone? How do we become the loving community in harmony that God intends for us to be? And it doesn't happen just simply by having a building, okay? It doesn't happen simply by having a program. It doesn't happen simply by having a staff. It happens as each and every person, each and every person loves one another with the love of Jesus. That's how we become in harmony together. And if any of you, and I can't imagine anyone that hasn't experienced a broken relationship, you know that this has to do more with relationships than just words. Because we can say all kinds of things, but if we don't have the relationship, if we aren't in unity with one another, then we're not in harmony. Jesus' church lives the love of Jesus. Jesus' church lives the love of Jesus. Look at Colossians 3:13. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. In this verse, Paul describes two ways that Jesus' church must live. First, we have to put up with each other, okay? We have to bear with each other. Make allowance for each other's fault. We have to cut each other some slack. Okay? This means being patient, even when it means enduring difficulty at being patient. Okay? It means acceptance requiring an effort of our will, because the actions or attitudes of others might be a little flat, might be a little sharp. Okay? They might be out of tune a little bit. All right? They might be out of tune. They may even stay out of tune for a long period. But Jesus is going to tune them. The Holy Spirit's going to tune them when we pray, when we gently instruct and encourage one another. Look at Romans chapter 12 for a moment, in verses 9 through 13. This is where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. So the cutting each other some slack that I mentioned is a continuing, ongoing way of life. It isn't, okay, I cut them some slack yesterday. Okay, I'm not going to cut them some slack today. Okay. All right? It's a continuing process for the believer, for the follower of Jesus. It continues by the power of God's love and presence within you, by the gifting and listening and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' church lives the love of Jesus. And it's hard work. Look at verse 13 again. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This is even more challenging than cutting each other some slack. You all need to be forgiven, and you need to forgive. Did you hear me? We all need to be forgiven, and we need to forgive. And the challenge with the continuation of life is that we need to forgive, and we need to forgive. And we need to forgive, and we need to forgive, and we need to forgive, and we need to forgive. And we need to continue to do that. And we need to do that until Jesus returns. We need to live that forgiveness until Jesus returns. There's going to be a need for forgiveness over and over and over and over and over again. Now, the scriptures indicate that you must make allowance for each other's faults. And we all have faults, don't we? I do. Let me count the ways. In fact, it can be said, the moment you think you don't have a fault, you do. Okay? Whenever you put two people together, there will be faults until Jesus returns, right? Can I get an amen? Yeah, you got it. You are called by God to forgive each other. There will be opportunity for blame on both parties and a need to forgive whenever you put two people together. And this can only happen if we depend upon the love of Jesus to help us forgive one another. It's a matter of conforming our hearts to Jesus' heart. This is saying, Lord, help me to live by the power of the Holy Spirit like you. And a big part of this is being willing to confess, Jesus, I've failed. Jesus, forgive me. And once you begin to ask for the forgiveness, it's easier. When we do, there is nothing but forgiveness from Him. And that's what we are to offer each other. We live in a culture, and it's tough. I understand that. I live there too. We live in a culture that says, I have the right to fight back. I have to stand for my rights. It can be with harsh words or it could be with fists. But we have to stand for what is right. Where can the love of Jesus come from in such a world that we live in? Jesus' church is the way of forgiveness. Jesus' church offers forgiveness. Jesus' church also is supposed to have a loving character. We got to put on Jesus from head to toe. Okay? We got to put on Jesus inside and out. All right? And we're inside and out and round about. We got to put on Jesus. Look at verse 12 again. See there? 3:12. Yeah. You are to have tender-hearted mercy and concern with sensitivity for each other. Notice that it says sensitivity. It doesn't just say, well, I'm concerned about him. I don't care, but I'm concerned. All right? We got to have sensitivity there to get an idea of how we are the church of Jesus to be Jesus' church with one another. It would be best to term it this way, putting that part that says, clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. What we're talking about there is gut-wrenching concern for someone. I mean, it's like, I think I'm going to throw up. I'm so concerned, my stomach won't settle. That's how concerned we are supposed to be for one another. Another way to put it is, the concern is so strong it feels like my heart is being ripped out for that person. That's the tender-hearted mercy we are to offer one another. In Jesus' church, there's a tender-hearted kindness that is visible, it's real, it's tangible, you can get your hand on it. In this mercy, there is humility, viewing ourselves, each of us, with modesty. If I don't, then I'm out of tune. Thinking less about myself, not less of myself, okay, don't get it wrong there, but less about myself than others. Isn't that what Jesus did? Thinking more about others and the ministry that Jesus has called us to. Not thinking only of myself or what I do as more important than what anyone else does. That's important for the body of Jesus. There's a gentleness. See it? In behavior. And that I would say, is in direct contrast with the rudeness or the harshness or how this world deals with others. But the church is supposed to be different. We're supposed to be gentle. This contains consideration for others and a willingness to waive our own rights, a willingness to let go of our way for the sake of Jesus' way. And there is patience in the face of a threat or a struggle. And patience has a qualifier, I would say, in the church: without complaint. Okay? I'm being patient, but boy, I wish they'd hurry up. That's that, isn't it? Okay? It's patience without complaint or irritation because that is exactly what Jesus did with each and every one of us. He was patient with us. And none of these characteristics that I've seen or we see here in Colossians is fully seen on a Sunday morning. Oh boy. It's not enough just to be warm and welcoming and happy and joyful and helpful on Sunday morning. You know what? The greeter at Walmart can do that. Okay? There, I meet some of the nicest people that are welcoming me there at Walmart. They can be warm and welcoming, but the church has to have the characteristics of Jesus' church. They need to be seen all week long, not only at church on Sunday morning. We have to live. We have to work. We have to go to school. We have to get along with our family. Okay, in these ways. What in the world could produce this kind of character in the lives of people? The love of God through Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, tuning us. You see, Jesus' church reflects a loving God. We're in harmony. God's in harmony with the Son, and the Son is in harmony with the Father, and we are to be in harmony with them. A loving character flows from your relationship with God through Christ, and it's reflected in you. The unselfish, sacrificial, compassionate love you are to have for one another is the result of a relationship with Jesus. And just like Jesus' relationship with the Father, that is what we are to have with one another and with this world that we live in. Let's always remember we are Jesus' church. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for your church. And we pray that, Holy Spirit, you'll help us to be that church, to be loving and tender-hearted and forgiving and gracious and long-suffering, waiting in patience for your will to be done. Lord, help us, bottom line, to be in harmony with one another, that the world would see and believe in you, Jesus. And we pray it in your name. Amen.